Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
I don't know.
Oh, I just felt like saying something different. Just wanted to open with something
I know we
different.
Literally start everyone with hello. We should probably like learn how to say hello in a different language.
But we keep talking about how we only say hello and then, oh, bonjour.
Bonjour. Bonjour. That just makes me think of Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
He's like, bonjour. 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 Bonjour.
You know, and then the how does it song? Go? Tell me.
Da, 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 da.
Oh, yeah.
Da 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 da. Okay, we're getting squirrely. Let's land this opening.
There you go. From now on, you'll get show tunes when we open. So we are interviewing Moira today. Moira is a delight.
She's just lovely.
A delight.
She's lovely.
She's actually in our program with Faith Through Fire, has been through the breast cancer journey.
And I took her.
Sarah and I don't take people as often because we get busy with other parts of the...
Well, that we have like a huge network now of... I mean, not huge. We have a lot of mentors in our program.
Yeah. And yeah. So we like feel to, guilty taking them from them, honestly.
Like until one comes through like Moira and I'm like, I'm going to keep you.
Right, right. Sarah's like, I'm adopting this one. I can't. You don't tell me I can't. I want this one. And she's just really fun to talk to and she's great. And she also has a background as a nurse. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of nurses in our program. And I think it's really interesting when we can talk to a nurse, especially one that's as holistically minded as Moira is. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're going to talk to her a little bit about life before cancer.
And then we're going to talk to her about her experience being diagnosed and kind of everything that was going on in her life.
Yeah. And just her perspective, you know, on what she thinks about cancer care and just any advice she has for anybody listening. So, but before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor. Ann's Bra Shop features skilled mastectomy fitters ready to assist you in selecting the perfect breast forms, bras, swimsuits, and camisoles for your post-surgery needs. They have 3 locations in the St. Louis area, Chesterfield and Wentzville, Missouri, across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, and a 4th location south on I-55 in Cape Girardeau. Visit Ann's Bra Shop at www.brashop.com to learn more.
Welcome. I'm so glad you're here, Moira.
I'm so glad to be here.
I want to know about you, okay? So tell me like what life was like before you got diagnosed with breast cancer. Tell the audience who you are.
So my name is Moira. I was named after my great aunt. I'm actually thrilled with my name now because
nobody else has it. Yeah. It's like unique.
Nobody else has it except for Moira Rose on Schitt's Creek. So if you like that, if you like that show, now yes. I love the fact that I have the name, but I certainly didn't like it growing up because no one has it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, you know, how to pronounce it. But I am now 60 years old. I have 4 children. And so before cancer was doing that again, raising 4 kids, although they're all young adults now. So they range from 28 down to 20, 3 boys and a girl.
That's not for the faint of heart.
Live in the Western.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. You know, I started training for a marathon after I had my daughter. So I have 2 boys and then a girl. And then I miscarried and I thought, you know, we didn't have trouble getting pregnant. So I thought, well, maybe that was God's way of saying, I think you're done. And I started doing more things for me. And that was part of that was running. And another story for another day. But all of a sudden I got pregnant while I was training for the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God's like, don't tell me what I'm doing.
Yeah,
that's right. So all of a sudden, Tommy came. And so I have the 4 kids, again, live in the suburbs of Chicago. Was raising my family, but I had a really that oldest son was pretty sick when he was 4 or 5 years old. So I'm a retired nurse myself. I had worked in rehab nursing and then spent the bulk of my career in medical sales in that I worked with a company that manufactured hospital beds and furniture, but also had a specialty bed division, if you will, that the beds were used for people that had bed sores and burns and traumas and things like that. So
interesting. I actually have a hospital bed preference. I'm not going to out the companies of which brand I like and which brand I don't. But it's like the number one thing I look at when I have to be in the hospital is what brand of bed do they have? Because it makes a huge difference.
Hilarious. You guys
it's
are
a
funny.
Huge difference.
Huge yeah. difference. Yeah. And I'm like, are you a chintzy hospital or are you a, you know, do you care about your patient's
right.
comfort?
Oh, jeez.
That's
yeah,
too
that's
funny.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So you're well, I met my. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. So I met my husband through a gal that actually I hired to be in my territory and help me out. And my husband was a friend of hers. And that's how I met my husband. And we got married soon after that and started raising kids, moved to the, you know, having kids, moved to the suburbs and things like that. And my oldest son was, he had a hard time being well. He always had a stuffy nose. He always was sneezing and tired and stuff like that. You know, I was doing the suburban mom things. We were going to the health club in the morning. We were putting our kids in childcare. We were working out and all those kind of things. And a girl that I met there, we were becoming really good friends. And she started to talk to me about some natural things that I could do to maybe help my son. Now, this is somebody that was telling me like I could go to a chiropractor that does this like acupressure stuff, that muscle testing. Like this was 25 years ago. That was like so weird to me. I was like, what
she
are you talking about?
Hippy dippy like, then. Yep.
Right. Like, and then taking supplements or like vitamins, like with these homeopath, like his soccer coach told me about a homeopath. It was like, I don't know. But I was a concerned mom. I was tired. I was like, I got to find some help for my son. So I started to learn about natural health and really more about learn about what we put in ourselves, on ourselves and around ourselves makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And as I started to make some changes and added some things and took some things out, my son's health improved. I felt better as a young mom. So that was the start.
How is your husband? I have a question about this because I think women kind of drive that, right? The mom instinct mm-hmm. to protect our kids and to like not take anything off the table when our kids' health is at risk or, you know, I mean, it's personal experience, right? That drives a lot of this. Like, I'll try it. You know, who knows? My experience has been that the husbands are always lagging behind with a lot of skepticism regarding this. So did your husband fully embrace this holistic approach or was he kind of like, okay.
Well, you know, it was interesting. He was yes and no. You know, my father-in-law was somebody that like had a whole slew of vitamins on his counter. And he didn't really talk about it much, but he also, before I met my husband, his mother got diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And that's when my husband stepped into his dad's business and kind of like took over because his dad wanted to try to help his mom survive. And they gave her 6 months and she lived another 4 years. And it was because of those natural things like chelation and supplementation and different things like that. So my husband had some background with that. So, and he was starting to he was dabbling a little bit in like ear candling and different things that were like, what is that? So he didn't totally embrace it when I started to do that, but he wasn't resistant to it so much. Again, that I was helping my kids. Now, today, again, 25 years later, like, or he supports me with the business, with me helping and doing whatever I need to do for myself and encouraging the kids. He does, you know, he does a few things here and there. I'd love him to embrace it even more. But again, that's his own thing. It's my own thing and
I
all
mean,
that.
You can't,
so
yeah.
It was, yeah, you can lead a horse to water, right? And you just can't make him drink. So he was trusting of it. And I think he saw my passion over time and he saw the changes. I mean, even in himself who had terrible allergies and I changed the laundry detergents in the house and convinced him to get rid of Tide. And he was like, I like the liquid. I'm like, okay, well, I'll get a liquid that's better for you. And
oh my gosh, my husband and I had this whole conversation about Tide because I tried all these other detergents and he's like, it doesn't get the smell of sweat out of my clothes. And he's like, we have to go back to Tide. And I'm like, we just haven't found our brand yet. Like, we'll just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can talk offline about that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. So this this is kind of like your life. You kind of were already leaning holistic based on your experiences with your son and just a need for yourself to stay healthy. I mean, was this up until the point where you got the call? I mean, is that what was happening?
Pretty much so. I mean, but within that, I mean, I built a business from that. I branded with a company that I was first introduced to that has wellness products. So I partnered with them and I built a business of helping other people and showing other young moms who are staying at home how to have their own wellness business, how to have healthier homes. So I built a big business throughout the last 25 years,
okay.
Feeling like I found my purpose of being able to help other people share the knowledge that I was learning with other people so that maybe in the off chance it might help them. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the midst of that, I think it's really important to share too that my daughter, one daughter in high school, she's now 25, but she started struggling with an eating disorder, which became extremely life-threatening for many, many years, close to 8 years. So I was a mom of a kid who had an eating disorder. I had one in college. I believe that's an integral part of my story when we look at breast cancer or cancer of any kind and, you know, the correlation of stress, you know, this, you know, the impact that stress has on our lives. Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, again, 8 to 10 years of that stressful period.
Is your daughter's doing well now?
She's doing very well. She's had a great year. She's been home for 2 years since her last treatment stay. And this last year has really been the best year of her life.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So that, but her struggle with that and your struggle with watching her go through that led right up to your diagnosis, it sounds like.
You know, it did, because my diagnosis came this last October, and we're talking, you know, in February now. The great blessing of all of this is that my daughter is in such a great place. And so she can support me, you know. And I remember walking in the door after I'd gotten the call, because I was driving my dad to a doctor's appointment when I got the call from the physician. And so, and my daughter knew we were anticipating the call. And so I walked in and she said, "Did you hear?" And I said, "Yep." And she gave me a big hug and she said, "You know what, Mom, come on. God's got this. If God got me through what I went through, like he can get you through this."
Oh,
and so the blessing, there's so many blessings, but the fact is that my daughter was in such a strong place that she could now support me. Mm. I'd supported her for so many years when she was so not good. Mm. And now my daughter was at a place. I'm so grateful for that, because she's been so wonderful to have here in my house and around me and supporting me through this journey.
That's amazing. Well, I want to know, I mean, you get this news, you know, health is obviously a big part of your life. You get the news that you have breast cancer. I mean, how did you feel? What were your thoughts? What were your concerns? Sarah and I have had private conversations, and I see this with a lot of people who felt like they were really healthy when they got diagnosed. There's that feeling of maybe a little bit of, how did this happen? I prioritize my health. I try to eat right. I exercise. You know, people look to me for health, and now I'm sick. Did you have any of that? How did you feel hearing the news that you had breast cancer?
I think I had all of that.
yes.
That and then some. Yeah, I mean, I'm the person that decided to live a healthy lifestyle, right? My daughter, well, no, my sister was diagnosed a year ago, went through it. My mom had it, my grandmother had it. But I live a healthy life. I never imagined that I would get that phone call. But yeah, I was like, why would it happen? Why would this happen to me? I started to question what I had been doing, right? I believe in what I'm doing in regards to health, but it made me question that. Like, maybe I wasn't doing the right thing. Maybe I, you know, like, where did I fall short?
Well, you kind of mentioned the impact stress has on bodies. And Sarah and I just wrapped up a podcast before yours. And we were talking about that same thing, about how many women come through who have very stressful events in their lives leading up to that. So, I mean, it's not always about what you eat, right, and drink and what supplements you take. Sometimes it's mental and it's emotional and it's, you know, it's never just one thing. I'm curious, too. Like, OK, so you're a nurse by trade. When you went to the doctor, did they give you a treatment plan? Did they tell you you didn't need further treatment? What did you decide to do?
Well, I, again, went after, you know, I had a lumpectomy. So went for that follow-up appointment and they said I'm cancer-free. So everything's out. My margins were clear. No lymph node involvement. So yay.
Yeah.
And then they recommended that I go see a medical oncologist. And so I did go to see her. And I chose one that they told me was a little bit more natural minded, if you will.
Did you do that thing that I did? I'm like, I don't want somebody that's really going to be personable. Like, that was important to me. I'm like, don't give me one of those nerds with no social skills. Give me somebody that's like really personable. Like, did you say the same kind of thing? Like, give me somebody that understands holistic, you know, integrative care.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I asked the nurse navigator or one of the nurses or something like that. I think the nurse that was with the breast surgeon that I chose. And she said, well, she goes, I'm not supposed to, you know, I'm not supposed to be biased or whatever. But she pointed out a couple on the list of like six that she gave me that I could go see. And so I chose this one based on that. Yeah, that I said, I don't want somebody to look at me when I say, hey, I've just gone plant-based, based in my eating, and they're going to look at me like I'm nutso, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm choosing to do.
I noticed, so you have a website. It's MoiraGorski.com. And I was looking at it, and it says you have a morning routine that's like really important to your emotional and spiritual health and to your healing. So you've got like three bullets on there. You like to read inspirational stories or motivational books. You utilize prayer or meditation, and you do journaling to kind of get your thoughts and feelings out of your head and onto paper. Has that been helpful to you? Do you feel like that's been really healing for you?
Really, really helpful. You know, I was doing that before this, and I just continued on with that. I tend to get up first thing in the morning before anybody else does and find some time to myself. Yeah. And I've got a stack of books. I have the Chris Beats Cancer Every Day, like devotional book. I have other different books. Yeah. Prayer, meditation, but journaling is really what made a big impact when I was going through those stressful times with my daughter, and still continues on today. You know, journaling, I used to say, you know, my penmanship's not that great. So like, I don't know if I should be journaling, but it's not about how beautiful my writing is. It's really about getting those thoughts out of my head. And it's really helped me process things more.
It's interesting that you're saying this. I had coffee with a new volunteer for our mentorship program the other day, and she was talking about journaling is very, very cathartic for her. And she says, I hate to write. She said, people think journaling's like writing your life out or what's going on in your mm-hmm. life. And she's like, that's not how I utilize it at all. And she's like, it can be very simple, you know, kind of like what I imagine to be bullet journaling, you know, just to get your mm-hmm. emotions and your feelings out on paper. And she really just has found it so cathartic. And I actually did do a lot of writing when I went through treatment, and I found it very cathartic. And I think those kind of things are really undervalued, you know, in terms of processing mm-hmm. your traumas. And to your point, I love what you say about what other cancers are in my life. Uh-huh. I think so many survivors sit there and start reevaluating what needs to change in their life in order for them to feel the way that they need to feel, you know, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, and it just goes into all aspects of your life. Like, I remember I left my sales career because I kept working for people who were not in alignment with my values. And I was like, this is mm-hmm. harming my health. You know, it may not be obvious, but it is.
Yeah. I mean, I heard in, again, some podcast or reading something that the person who I was before was somebody that developed breast cancer. Mm. And so what I want to create now is a person that doesn't develop breast cancer. So it sometimes can be like really, not sometimes, I think it should be like looking at all the aspects of your life and where it are those things that you're doing, are they serving you?
I want to talk about the ownership piece, because I think that's a topic that some people might feel like a little bit like, oh, is this my fault? But I think there is some ownership in what made us sick. I want to talk about that. But before we do that, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do Boobs.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
Are you ready for this?
Ready.
The title is, and I'm going to give you the title. Party animal roasted for getting stuck in decorative urn.
Oh, that could go so many different ways.
Like, I was like, oh, I have to really vet this one to make sure that like the wrong part didn't get stuck in the urn.
I'm thinking that.
So I'm looking at the video. So on New Year's Eve, a man urned himself.
Oh, gosh.
Heaps of ridicule online after getting stuck inside a giant ornamental vase. So it looks like one that you might see.
One of those
like,
ones that are like sitting on the floor.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. a really, really big one. Oh, my gosh. And then here's a pun. A video of they call them a bozos, invasive maneuver.
Oh, gosh.
Invasive.
Oh, my gosh.
Has amassed millions of views on Twitter.
So we're so desperate for entertainment.
Basically, the whole bottom part of his, he like somehow contortioned himself down into this urn and then got stuck basically at his chest and then couldn't then get back out.
Did they have to break the urn?
They had to break the urn to get him out.
Was it an expensive urn?
I don't know. I mean, and it looks nice.
You know what question I'm going to ask? With all these kinds of stories, when somebody's partying, was he under the influence?
I'm sure.
Do they have a picture of it?
The footage shows a sweater-clad Houdini. Houdini wannabe wriggling his body down into the vase so that his head and arms are visible like a human
genie
canopic jar. What's a canopic? Oh, is that like the ones that are in the tomb? Maybe? I don't know.
I don't know.
You're not gonna be able to get out of there, exclaims an onlooker, and then he just goes, I'm not.
You are correct. I am stuck.
Oh, that's oh, they're from funny. Alabama.
Mm. Okay. No judgment,
Alabama. Don't hate on us.
I know. You know what, Sarah? We got no rights talking about that when we're from Missouri.
Yeah, no kidding.
Let me see that picture. Stop it. Oh, he looks like he's concerned. How did he get his whole lower half? That's not that tall.
I don't know.
That vase is not that tall.
Right. It looks like his legs just might be little.
He is a little guy, though.
Yeah.
That's a little man.
Yeah.
Nobody with a dad bob.
They ended up breaking it with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, I'm sure we've all had those moments where we maybe partied a little too hard and made silly decisions. That's just his just got caught on Twitter.
I mean, in my younger years, there was an episode where all of us were trying on a dog shock collar and then seeing like how much we could
Why
take.
Why wasn't that your boobs in the news?
That could have been my next boobs in the news. I can be the boob.
Great, great. Yeah. I want to hear this whole story.
There was definitely alcohol involved in that scenario.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, vase guy, I'm going to give you,
we should be rating these.
There's
you
your
get
boobs.
9 boobs out of 10.
Right. I feel like all you should only get like one boob, half a boob.
Oh, it's a like portion of a boob. Out of a scale of 3?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not a scale of 3. Who has 3 boobs?
Oh, yeah, you're right. A scale of 2. 2 and is even, like the most booby of boobs.
It's got to be 2 or less because we all have either 2 or less.
Right.
Like, get it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So no 3 unless there's something you need to tell me. Did your doctor give you a third boob?
Yes.
That would be interesting. Do you think there's somebody out there that's like, yes, I want fake ones, but I also want an extra one?
Where would you put it, though? Would you put it in the middle?
I put it on my back.
Good luck finding a bra.
Maybe I can ask for an A cup on the back and C's on the front.
How would you go to sleep at night? Are you a... side sleeper? Oh my god.
I have to be a side sleeper. I can't sleep on my boobs.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I think we need to
That's
break.
Your boob.
We need a break.
Yeah.
There's your boobs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
All right, and we're back. So I want to kind of jump back into that, like that ownership piece, because I had to do that. I had to look at how I was living and the things I was bringing into my life, and not all of them were serving me. Do you think I think that's a beneficial practice for everybody. What do you guys think? Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's empowering to take ownership of my health
mm-hmm.
and to say what things are contributing to this illness.
I think it's empowering, but at the same time, you also have to learn, like, because some people are going to be the type of people who then find blame within that. Mm. And then that's where, like, to Chris Beat Cancer, he talks a lot about forgiveness and, you know, I think he even ended the podcast that we did with him that way. And or I don't know if that was
I don't know if he was talking about self-forgiveness or forgiveness of others or both.
I think forgiveness in general, because if you then find blame within questioning like either your practices or the things you're doing, or if you're like, oh, I did that and that, you know, like that stress that I didn't let myself get over, could that have caused my cancer? And if you find blame within that, that's where you have to practice that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, self-forgiveness being first.
That's been a big, you know, again, if you read any Louise Hay, you know, You Can Heal Your Life. You know, I opened up that book when I got diagnosed and I looked up cancer and it said, you know, resentment, lack of forgiveness. I was like, that like hit me in square in my head. Like, what? You know, I was waiting for forgiveness. I was waiting for people to apologize for things that they had done. And the way that, like Chris will talk about it, like the way that they've wronged me. I was waiting for those apologies. And when you get real about forgiveness, who is it? Lisa Turkest. She wrote a book, Forgiving the Things That You Can't Forget.
Mm.
Like that's tough work. But I've kind of dove into that, you know, again, I do need to forgive myself and not blame myself. Same thing with my daughter with my eating disorder. I had an eating disorder. They said that there was a genetic component to it. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. That means I caused it. Mm. No, it doesn't mean I caused it. Same thing. Like I'm well aware of how I've lived my life. I needed to get over the fact that, okay, it's all your fault, Moira. And instead of all my fault, it can be like, you know, what can I do? I can empower myself to make the changes.
Or like the way the way I like to look at it is like your body is trying to get you to wake up to what needs to change, right? Like mm-hmm. this is your body's loving way of saying this isn't working for you anymore.
A little nudge.
Yeah. This isn't working for you anymore. Like since you haven't gotten it, I'm going to hit you over the head with it. And now you're going to make some changes. I would have never made the positive changes I've made in my life if I hadn't gotten cancer.
Same.
Same?
No. Yep,
do you feel that way too, Moira?
Absolutely. Matt, the word of the year from last year, it's still on the wall. I have to change it now that I figured out my new word. But it was focus because I was so busy and I was running around. I've networked myself, you know, for the last 15 years, I've built a big network. I've built a big business. I've built a big life. But I was realizing that like some of those things that I wanted to do or the goals that I wanted to accomplish, they weren't being met. And so I made because sometimes I get off track and I go get interested in something else. And so I made focus my word, and I joke about it. No joke, but like September, I was like, okay, you're not paying enough attention to focusing. So like you said, we're going to hit you upside the head and we're going to say it's time to really focus and slow down. Mm-hmm. So it was my body, God, the universe, the power greater than me decided to give me a wake up call. And honestly, ladies, it's been the best. It was the best wake up call I didn't think I ever needed.
Well, now I'm curious what your word is for this year.
So my word for the year this year is clearing.
Ooh.
Because I am clearing things out. We're going to sell our house. We're clearing things out of the house. I'm clearing things out of, like I said, I'm clearing things out of my life.
Oh,
things
I like that.
I'm doing relationships.
Sarah's word is gratitude. And then she told me her word and I'm like, ooh, I'm taking that. So mine's gratitude, but only because I wasn't creative.
What a stealer you are.
I'm such a stealer. But I love it that you guys do that, that you guys have a word and you kind of center your life that year around that word. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, to your credit, I'm like stealing your idea. I think we're sitting down as a family tonight to make family values. So which I love that you did, because I was like, oh man, I feel like the word of the year, and I'm sure Moira agrees that like you kind of run everything that you do past that word.
Mm-hmm.
Does this fit with like within what I'm focusing on this year? Like my word last year was simplicity. So it was amazing how many things I said no to, because I was like, well, that wouldn't make my day simple, or like that wouldn't make, you know, whatever.
And it feels less overwhelming than a New Year's resolution or I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's like it's just a word.
Right. Because it's not black and white.
Right.
So you're like, oh, you could check in with yourself. Did I have practiced any kind of gratitude today? No, I didn't. OK, well, how can I incorporate gratitude tomorrow, or, you know, to your focus? What can I do to clear tomorrow?
You know what? I'm super grateful because I spilled red pepper soup all over our really light couch the other day.
I was on the phone with you and she freaked out.
I was like, Sarah, I gotta go. I just dropped my soup. And it's like my couch, a portion of my couch is orange right now. And it was stressing me out. And Gary has to go out of town. And I was like, is there any way you can spot bot the couch before you leave? And he's like, you know, you can do this, right? And I'm like, yes, but not as good as you. And then he did it. And my first thought was, there's your gratitude.
There's your gratitude.
There's your gratitude. Yeah. I love that though.
But did you ever find, can I ask you this question? Did you ever find like during, like right after your diagnosis or during part of your treatment, like things like that is kind of a major thing, right? If you stain your white couch, but like
that's not major.
I found myself occasionally, like there was a time that I pulled out like my bowl that I mix everything else in, this Pampered Chef bowl that I love. And it was either pulling it out or drying it and putting away, and it fell and it shattered literally into like a million pieces.
Oh no.
And I just lost it. Like I'm cleaning it up and I'm like crying.
Yeah, because
like,
that bowl is a metaphor for your life.
Right.
You had this beautiful, lovely bowl.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah.
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 And I
think
like,
I think there were. Yeah, I think sometimes it's not the act of whatever happened. I think sometimes it's like that is the last drop before you spill over. And so like it's just the cue for the emotions.
Right. Before we wrap up, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, and we're back. Moira, thank you so much for sharing your story and your insights about how you've prioritized your health and the decisions that you've made. Any last words for those listening who are maybe just starting their journey or who are in the same place that you are, where you're looking forward and just trying to figure out how to proceed?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And just thank you for this organization. I mean, I have a friend who reached out and said, you know, this is an organization that you can get a coach or a mentor through. And I was like, really? Like, but I went on your website and filled it out. And I've just been so grateful to be connected with you girls and your organization. And again, maybe that's part of my message too, is that we should be open to getting help, for asking for help. I mean, I'm somebody that has helped people for a very long time. And I've had many people say, listen, you help us, now you're going to let us help you, because we're going to bring you a meal. We're going to bring you a gift. We're going to come and sit with you. So
yeah, it's hard. It's hard when you're independent and you're used to being strong for other people to accept that help for yourself. So I love that message, because you're definitely one of us. We're like, we got this. We got this, right? We're going to make lemonade from the lemons, but you need help too. So I love that you're saying that. And we love walking alongside our members, and we're thrilled to have you. So
again, I've heard it so many times. It's not happening to me. It's happening for me. I truly believe that. And I really want that message out there. Again, if people are starting or wherever they are in their journey, is to just know that you can slow down and you can ask for help, but you can also, you can be your own best advocate. And that's what I encourage people to do. Like, figure out what's going to work for you. Because I knew in nursing that if you had a blood clot, if you had a broken leg, like, we followed a care plan, and that's what we always recommended. And oftentimes, I think, at least what I've seen with cancer, it's like, oh, here's the thing that you got, the path you have to follow. But I realized that there's lots of different types of breast cancer. There's lots of different, and lots of different kinds of people. So we need to find the thing that works for us, you know, with lots of things.
We
diet, self-care, friends, whatever. You got to find what works and resonates well with you, and do that more.
Couldn't say it better ourselves. Thank you so much, Moira.
I appreciate you being
thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, guys.
Absolutely.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.